Hello, listeners, and welcome to a mystery show. You don't know the name of it yet.
Do we have to let the listeners guess the name of the show?
Yes, they can tell us on Facebook, but that's also a mystery about where you can find us. Should we just tell the listeners?
No, I think we should leave it a mystery. I want them to be very confused.
They'll be confused even if they do know that they're listening to Funk Radio.
Oh, you spoiled it.
Speaking of silly things, I don't know if it's silly, but...
Oh, it's very silly.
It's kind of silly, I suppose.
I thought it would be fun to try to find songs that reference cartoons, mostly because I'm a man-child who watches cartoons.
Same.
I found out that rappers, at least modern rappers, really, really like referencing cartoons from the 90s, which I thought was appropriate because both you and I are 90s babies. We were born in 1990.
On the same day.
We're twins. It's like the movie with Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
That movie was not about twins. Our lives are nothing like that movie.
I was going to be like, guess which one you are.
Speaking of Danny DeVito, he did a voice in a 90s animated thing, Space Jam. He was the villain.
Oh, yeah.
Whose name I don't recall.
I forget. He was the weird fat alien mob guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot that was him. Oh, man, that's funny. So, yeah, we're going to talk about, like I said, rap songs, because really, honestly, that's all I could find that really referenced him. Rap songs that reference cartoons from the 90s. So for any of you kids that grew up in the 80s or 90s, this will be like an awesome nostalgia trip for you so you can forget about the horrors of modern life.
And of Funk Radio.
And of us. So, yeah, I guess just kicking things right off. This is kind of actually what spurred this episode topic, was seeing I saw a YouTube video, unfortunately I don't remember who posted it, sorry, talking about how rappers have this infatuation with Dragon Ball Z, the 90s anime that was oh so popular. So I found a couple songs that I thought were pretty relevant that reference that show. And I guess the way we can do this is we'll play clips of the songs, and then I'll talk about the artist, and I'll talk about the show that they reference. So for this one, I actually found two different songs,
okay,
but both of them are awesomely hilarious. So I think we'll just play them back to back. But one of the artists that we found, Soulja Boy, we've talked about on Funk Radio before. He's the artist that sang that song that was really popular when I was in high school. When we were in high school, it's like, "Watch me, something, watch me go." Superman. The Superman song.
Yeah.
The first song we're going to play is a song called Goku by Soulja Boy, which references the main character in the show, Dragon Ball Z, whose name is Goku. And the second song we'll play is a line from the song My Shine by Childish Gambino, who we've also talked about on the show, but he's far, far more worth mentioning. So we'll just play those back to back, just because, you know, they both fit into this narrative of Dragon Ball Z. So here's Soulja Boy, it's Goku, and then after that is My Shine by Childish Gambino.
And after that will be more of us talking.
Bitch, I look like Goku. Pulled up in my old school. Fucking up that Pro Tools. Super Saiyan swagger. Bitches on my dick because all my albums passing.
I'm rapping about everything I go through. Everything I'm saying, I'm Super Saiyan like Goku. Fuck nerdcore. Fuck backpack.
I guess a little bit of context for those of you that aren't familiar with the show. Now, I know you said you haven't ever watched Dragon Ball Z, right, Peter?
I've seen it. I just didn't like watch it religiously.
To be honest, I didn't watch the show like chronologically until later in life. When I was a kid, I just watched it because it's like action and fighting and whatever. But I never paid much attention to the overarching plot, so I did, and it's very long show, as a lot of anime is. I think it's like 300 episodes. So, yeah.
But only 5 things actually happen.
No, honestly, that's really the truth. In each, you know, quote-unquote season of the show, the main character, Goku, who is this alien called a Saiyan, super powerful, each season he fights like a new bad guy. But the build up to the fight and the fight itself literally takes place over multiple episodes. So there's like a fight with a bad guy that I think once was like 12 episodes long. Because anime.
The fight was, or the build up was?
The fight itself.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So the reason the show is called Dragon Ball, and actually Dragon Ball Z is the second in a series of it's a spin-off, I guess, of the original show that was just called Dragon Ball, is they use these seven orange balls that once you gather all of them up, you can summon like this magical wish dragon, and he grants you a wish, and it's really weird.
I didn't realize that. So Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z are two different shows?
Yes. Dragon Ball is more, a little bit more kid oriented, where it's Goku as a child. Mm-hmm. And then Dragon Ball Z, he's an adult who has a son named Gohan, who's kind of supposed to be like, you know, the next generation or whatever. And then shit ensues.
So the songs that reference, do you have anything to say about?
Yeah. I guess we've talked about Childish Gambino before. It's the rap moniker of Donald Glover, the actor. You're probably familiar with him if you've seen the show Atlanta, or he was Troy on Community, and he's going to be the young Lando Calrissian in the new Han Solo movie.
Yay. Oh yeah.
This song Shine came off of one of his self-released albums. He had like two or three self-released albums that he put up on like SoundCloud for free before he actually signed like a real record contract and released his first true album called Camp. I think he released that back in 2011. But this song is just one of his many songs, but the lyric that we played, he says, quote, "Everything I'm saying, I'm Super Saiyan like Goku." Super Saiyan, referencing that Goku and some of the other characters in the show have this ability to what's called Go Super Saiyan, where they become exponentially more powerful, and in doing so they can fight these, you know, super powerful aliens and robots and whatever, because it exponentially increases their strength. And just like a lot of anime, a lot of people die in that show and then just magically come back to life because death has no meaning.
And thanks to Funk Radio, life has no meaning.
Jesus. So yeah,
cool.
The next song I want to talk about is a little bit more kid-friendly. Chance the Rapper, for those of you who don't know, he's a fairly famous rapper right now. He's from Chicago. I think he got his start in about 2013. He actually did a cover of the opening song for the PBS kids show Arthur. Now, I assume you watched Arthur, yes, Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sure. Good. Having fun isn't hard when you have a library card.
You know, I was literally just thinking about that. Like, less than a week ago. I don't know why.
And then wondering why I don't have a library card.
I don't know. Maybe I was having... Maybe having fun was hard. And I was just having that problem.
Exactly. So, for those of you that don't know, Arthur is an animated educational TV show mostly aimed at small children that was aired on PBS, which was the home of all amazing TV shows back then, including Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, and gosh, what else was on PBS at that? I think The Big Comfy Couch. I think that was PBS too. Maybe that was Nick.
I don't remember. Whatever. It might have been PBS actually.
Maybe. So the show, yeah, the show Arthur. It's set in this fictional city called Elwood City, and it revolves around this 8-year-old kid, Arthur Reed, who is a aardvark, and all the other characters in the show are anthropomorphic animals. I'm trying to remember some of the names. Didn't he have a friend named like Billy or something? And he was a rabbit.
Was it Benny? Maybe
Benny. Whatever. Not something Benny. With a B.
I don't know if that's right. No, Buster.
Buster. Yes, because that is it's a really stupid ass name. There was Buster, who was a rabbit.
Shout out to our listeners who are named Buster.
What else? There was Marcine, who I think was like a monkey, and his sister.
Oh, DW.
Oh my god. I was almost about to say, wasn't her name like Double D or something?
Yeah, your cartoons mixed up.
Definitely. Yeah, his sister was named like GW, and I remember she was supposed to be really annoying. and always getting into trouble. So, for whatever reason, Chance the Rapper did a cover of the intro song to this show. Now, Chance was born in 1993, so what does that make him, like 24? So, he's kind of right about that age, you know, when Arthur was popular. So, obviously, it had an effect on his childhood, and who knows, Arthur may have been the first person to teach him to rap. Let's play a little clip of this song called Wonderful Every Day by Chance the Rapper.
Every day when you're walking down the street, wonderful. Everybody that you meet has an original point of view.
Yeah, so this song is interesting. Because, I mean, it's a cover of the theme song, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds way different.
Yeah.
Stylistically.
Yeah, it's very much like a slowed down, more R&B version of the song. It's a good cover, but yeah, exactly, it's one of those songs where unless you knew, hey, this is the Arthur song, it's definitely so drastically changed that it doesn't sound similar at all. Fun fact, the original version of the song was actually recorded and performed by Mr. Ziggy Marley.
Huh. Nice.
Yay.
I did want to say about Arthur, just in general, if I may.
Yes.
I think Arthur is an underrated show.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's like it's one that like I think pretty much everybody has seen, and I've never really heard anyone who was like, Arthur, fuck that. I've always heard people be like, yeah, well, Arthur was pretty legit.
It's almost it's like Mr. Rogers or something. It's like unless you unless you didn't just happen to not grow up with it, any kid that experienced it has good memories of it. I don't know anyone that's like, you know, fuck Mr. Rogers. Speaking of which, sure. I was reading that they're going to do a Mr. Rogers biopic, and none other than the nicest man in Hollywood, Tom Hanks, is going to be playing him.
I forgot you told me about that, yeah. That should be cool.
So, to keep our little cartoon train here going, the next artist we have is the artist Designer, and he has a song called Timmy Turner. He's weird. His name is Sidney Shelby. He was born in 1997, so he's like a baby. And he's an American rapper who basically hit it big with his debut single, Panda. Do you remember the song Panda, Peter?
I might know it by hearing it. I don't know by name.
I think we should play a clip for the listeners just to remind them who Designer is, because I guarantee you've heard Panda.
Okay. Honey killers on the helmets. Legacies, found it. Way see. Pockets full. Done. Selling ball. I guess I've heard that. I don't really know. It's not striking me as something like, oh shit, I've heard that.
Oh, well, okay. I just remember this song was like huge last year. Like, I couldn't stop hearing it even though I wanted to. This rapper Designer, after releasing this famous single Panda, was picked up by Kanye West, and he signed him to his Good Music imprint or something. It's a subsidiary label of Def Jam. And yeah, so he basically is a protege of Kanye West, I guess. So this guy has a very, I guess, kind of unique rapping style that I've noticed a lot of other rappers kind of mimicking afterwards. It's, I don't know what other way to classify it than to call it like mumble rapping, where it's soft spoken, the words are kind of slurred a little bit. So honestly, exactly. To the point that
I kind of got that sense from Panda.
Yeah.
I just listened to it now.
Yeah. To the point that sometimes some of the lyrics, honestly, are kind of hard to understand. Like, I didn't know this, that he was even sang Panda. The song is called Panda, and I'm like, wait, he sang Panda? So, yeah, it's interesting because his rap lyrics, because they're so mumbled, almost fit more rhythmically to the song than they do lyrically, if that makes any sense. But alongside that song Panda, he has this song that he released called Timmy Turner. And for those of you who don't know, Timmy Turner is the main character on the cartoon show Fairly Odd Parents, which was an animated TV show that actually premiered on Nickelodeon in 2001. So technically, this isn't a 90s cartoon.
Did it start that late?
Yeah, I know. It totally seems like a 90s cartoon, but it's not. I watched it when I was in like middle school and stuff. I assume you did at some point too, Peter.
Yeah, I wasn't, again, I wasn't like a heavy watcher of it, but I've definitely seen enough of it.
Exactly. Like, if I was home from school and it was on, I would catch it. But I didn't like go through and... That's the nice thing about cartoon shows in general. They're not usually very serial. You know, each episode is kind of its own self-contained thing. So...
Anime more so is.
Yeah, for sure. Anime more so has like these overarching, you know, plots that you have to, you know, keep watching each week. Whereas a lot of American cartoons like this or SpongeBob or whatever are more self-contained, where, you know, it's perfect for syndication. You can just play any episode, and because it's its own self-contained story, it's, you know, it's funny and there's closure and blah, blah, blah. I guess a bit more current events. The showrunner of Fairly Odd Parents, his name is Butch Hartman, actually just left Nickelodeon. Like, they announced it like a week or two ago. Just now leaving after being there for like 18 years. So, kudos to him.
That just happened?
Yeah, yeah. He did a handful of other shows with them. He did Danny Phantom. Yeah. If you ever watched that, I'm sure
I know of it, but I've never watched it.
I think he did The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, but I might be wrong. It definitely seems like that same art style, though.
It's a similar style, for sure. Yeah.
That's what's so funny. I was kind of thinking about this. That's what's so funny about a lot of 90s cartoons, is you could tell that, like, a handful of showrunners, like, had a big influence on the art style of a lot of different cartoons going across networks. Like, if you look at a lot of stuff in the 90s, it definitely has, like, a very similar style to it that kind of prevailed at that time, usually because of people like Butch Hartman, who, you know, they're brought onto networks like Nickelodeon or Disney or whatever, and are kind of given rein to, you know, they have one successful show like Fairly Odd Parents, and they're like, hey, we want more. So, yeah.
He was not involved with that other show, by the way.
Oh, I lied. So yeah, for those of you who don't know what Fairly Odd Parents is about, it's really fucking weird, like most kid shows. It's about this kid named Timmy Turner, who has two fairly godparents named Cosmo and Wanda, and they can grant him any wish he wants. So because of that, and him being a child, hilarity ensues. There was a lot of innuendos I remember in that show too, like. I'm going to butcher this, but there was this one episode with his dad. His dad was a hilarious character in the show. He's like, you know, don't be like me. Don't let your dreams get crushed. And he's like, and Timmy's like, when did you give up on your dreams, Dad? And his dad's like, how old are you? Which a kid's not going to get, but there was a lot there. That's what was funny about, like, a lot of shows in the 90s, kids shows in the 90s, was there was kind of what I called jokes for adults, where sometimes if you would occasionally catch an episode later on in life, like when I was in high school, whatever, there was jokes put in there that obviously would go over most little kids' heads, but were kind of like tongue-in-cheek jokes for parents or innuendos to kind of, you know, make the show not mind-numbing for them, I guess. So, yay.
So should we listen to a clip of this song?
Yeah, since I've been yammering on about the show, let's listen to a clip of Timmy Turner by Designer, and you let us know if you can understand what the hell he's saying in this song.
You know what was a good show from this same era?
What?
That's not in our list?
What?
Is Invader Zim.
Oh, I know. I'm kind of surprised. Like, as in, I'm surprised rappers haven't really referenced that show. Actually, you know what? I'm wrong. There's a line in a Childish Gambino song where he says something like, I'm a beast bitch, Gurr Invader Zim, referencing the character Gurr from the show.
Nice.
I unfortunately couldn't tell you the name of the song. I just know it's a Childish Gambino song.
Is it in Bonfire?
It might be. Yeah. You know what? I think you're right.
Looks like it is.
Nice.
I guess we'll play that really quick.
Okay, sure. Kill beef, go ham. These rappers are afraid of him. Cause I'm a beast, bitch, girl. Invader Zim, Gambino is a call girl. Fuck you. Pay me. So yeah, I mean, I won't go into Invader Zim too much. It's a really trippy kids show.
I think, didn't it get canceled? Like, in like halfway through its second season or something.
Yeah, it got canceled fairly quickly. I know it's one of those kind of cult classic shows that a lot of people are like, they should bring that back because it was canceled too soon. So
it was pretty good.
Yes. Speaking of shows that were canceled,
probably all of these.
Yeah, exactly. The only 90s show besides like The Simpsons and shit that I can think that isn't canceled is like SpongeBob, which I'm still amazed that show is on. Like, that's insane.
Don't they still make Arthur too?
No, I don't think so.
Because I thought at some point recently, I was like, holy shit, they're still making it.
Really?
So it's the second longest active running show on PBS.
It's still
behind
on.
Only Sesame Street.
Holy shit.
Longest running children's animated television series.
Holy shit. The sad thing is, like, the person that voiced Arthur, like, when we were kids is probably, like, an adult now. So they probably have some, like, a whole bunch of new voice actors. Man, that's crazy. Okay, well, I know what I'm doing over the next week. I'm catching up on Arthur.
All 20 seasons of it. Before we go further with our list, listeners, we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Peter.
Do you know what a website is?
No.
It's a thing on the internet, and you can go there, and it's fun.
Is that where I can find things to do?
Yes, you can find things to do there. getyourfunk.com is a website for funk radio, and you can find our episodes there, and you can listen to them, and you can download them, and we have a tip jar. Do you like money, Kyle?
I love money.
Well, people will give us money there at getyourfunk.com.
Yay!
Do you have a favorite episode of Funk Radio?
I like the one about butts.
Well, at getyourfunk.com, you can use the search bar and type in butts, and it'll pull up our episode that we did a while back about butts.
Yay!
And now back to our previously scheduled content. Oh boy. Alright, so we better keep going because this is still a long list.
Oh yeah.
What do you got next?
So next up we have a very interesting song called Animated Ambition by a rapper named Mick Jenkins. Now, this guy's pretty indie from what I found, but he's got some cool shit, so check him out. He is an American hip-hop artist based in Chicago, signed with a Cinematic Music Group, and he had a debut album in 2016 called The Healing Component. So, similar to Designer, he's pretty up-and-coming. And in this particular song that I found, he references both Rugrats and the character Patty Mayonnaise from the show Doug. Now, everyone knows, a lot of people probably know what Rugrats is. It's that show based around, like, babies, and it's like, if babies could talk, this is what they would do, and, like, weird shit. But
Let's be honest, all these shows are weird shit.
Touche. I wanted to touch on Doug a little bit, because from what I understand, it's a little bit more of an obscure show. Did you watch Doug, Peter?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. Doug is this kid's show. Created by this guy named Jim Jenkins, no relation to Mick Jenkins. It focuses on the adolescent life of this character, Doug Funny, who experiences, you know, common predicaments of being awkward while attending school in his hometown of Bluffington. And Doug kind of narrates the show as an entry into the, like, this journal that he keeps. Talks about different friendships that he has with characters in the show. Like, I remember Skeeter, who I think was supposed to be a black kid, but he was, like, green. I always thought was really weird.
Yeah, he was, like, blue or green, I think.
Yeah. And he had a crush on this girl in the school, Patty Mayonnaise. The funny thing was Jim Jenkins developed Doug from, you know, drawings he had in a sketchbook that he did over the course of the 1980s. And the show was actually kind of mostly autobiographical. Doug was supposed to be him. The other characters in the show represented childhood friends of his that he had growing up in Virginia. So, yeah, the whole show and a lot of the characters are actually based off real people. So I found that kind of interesting.
You know, I'll just chime in here really quick. Doug is another show I tried rewatching a couple years ago. Around the same time that I was watching Invaders. I think I probably touched on a few different shows. But I can only... It's funny because I like that show and I think it's important. But I also had a hard time getting through more than like a handful of episodes.
Like it doesn't hold up today kind of thing? Or
it kind of doesn't. I think part of it maybe was maybe just because it was aimed at a younger audience than I remember it being.
Mm.
And so, like, the stories and things were so simple that it was like, I don't know if I can sit through, you know, hours of this. But I think a lot of the themes they touch on and stuff and, like, the characters, it is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't find it as easily watchable as some of the other ones.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Some of the shows, you know, we thought were so profound as children, you go back and watch them and they're fairly, for lack of a better word, elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Shows that are a bit more irreverent and less grounded in reality, I think kind of hold up better because irreverence is always funny.
It's an interesting thought.
So yeah, let's play a little clip of this song called Animated Ambition by Mick Jenkins. I also encourage you guys to go check out the music video for the song because it's totally like in this 90s animated art style that's really trippy. Really well done. So yeah, if you guys get a chance, go check out the music video for it as well.
Lord, help me. All I ever wanted was a young Patty Mayonnaise. Thinking we could make some cold cuts. Like planters, we go nuts and plant seeds and grow us.
I didn't realize until you were saying no relation between the two that the artist is Jason Jenkins and then the creator of Doug was Jim Jenkins.
Yeah, one letter difference.
I guess that's a coincidence, yeah.
The next song we have is I Be in the Lab by G-Eazy. He's an American rapper from Oakland, and his first album, called These Things Happen, came out in 2014, which peaked at number 3 on the U.S. Billboard 200, so he's pretty famous. He has a song called I Be in the Lab, which the entire song kind of is a homage of sorts to Dexter's Laboratory. He even has like a audio clip from the show at the beginning of the song.
Yeah, I noticed that it samples dialogue from the show.
Yeah, it samples the dialogue, like, and it also samples like the underpinning sort of haunting sound at the beginning of the, I don't know what you call it, the show open. But yeah, for those of you that aren't familiar with Dexter's Laboratory, it was on Cartoon Network, and it's funny, you know, when we were kids there were so many different like cartoon channels that like had a lot of really good cartoons, but I mean now what's left? Disney really doesn't have a lot of
cartoons. I mean, they're pretty much the same ones, though, aren't they? No?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of these channels aren't exclusively cartoons anymore. Nickelodeon has a lot of live-action stuff now. Disney has a lot of live-action stuff. I don't know about Cartoon Network, but that one might still just be cartoons.
I don't think they do. I think that would go against the name of the channel.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, I think they at least still are basically all cartoons.
You do have a good point, though, that the other channels have more live-action stuff, whereas I don't think when we were young that they really
Not as much. Like, I remember growing up with, like, Disney and Nick, and they had some live-action stuff, like That's So Raven, and I can't even remember some of the others. Smart Guy. I don't know if you ever watched that
But one. There weren't as many of them, though.
Yeah, exactly.
And they weren't as memorable, obviously.
I presume that it was because, at least at that time, you know, creating live-action shows was a bit more costly than creating cartoons. Plus, you know, cartoons you can have go for 10 years, whereas live-action shows, the actors grow up, so.
Yeah, if you're the guy who voices Arthur, then you can just do it for 40 years.
Forever. You know, speaking of that, did you know the woman that voiced Pikachu from the Pokemon show in the 90s is still the same woman that does it now? And
I did not know that.
It's a little Japanese woman that does his voice.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, it's a pretty simplistic thing. You just have to say Pikachu in different canters. But yeah, no, same voice actress for, what, 20 years? Probably more than that. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, Dexter's Laboratory follows this boy genius who has a secret laboratory in his base in the basement of his parents' house, who constantly is in battle with his very stupid sister, Dee Dee, who he tries to keep out of his lab because she's meddlesome and annoying. And he also has a rivalry with this other genius named Mandark, which, weird name.
I forgot about him.
Yeah, I know, I did too until I actually kind of researched this. So Dexter's Laboratory was created by this showrunner called Genndy Tartakovsky, who also created the Powerpuff Girls and Samurai Jack. So those three shows.
Yeah, I think Did we mention him? I don't know why we were talking about Samurai Jack and when it came back last year.
Because I came back last year and it was a huge deal for fans. Yeah, of the show.
I don't remember if it was relevant for the show. We were just talking about it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. We probably just talked about it because we like it.
Yeah. Hey, now it's relevant.
Touché.
But yeah, I remember mentioning him then as well.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're familiar with any of those shows, they all kind of have a very similar sort of, I almost want to say like a 1960s like Art Deco style, very angular.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I
guess. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Kind of style to the shows, which, you know, creates really interesting imagery. Side note, if you haven't seen the cartoon show Samurai Jack, honestly, probably one of my favorite cartoon shows ever made. It's an interesting show. There's very little dialogue. Jack is almost essentially a silent character. The plots in the episodes are really good. And it's one of the few kids' shows that does kind of have a sort of overarching plot to it, you know, that continues from episode to episode. And it has some of the best, like, I guess what I would say, animation composition of any show I've ever seen.
It's very cinematic.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good way to put it. It's a super, super cinematic looking kids cartoon show that holds up just kind of by some of the beauty of some of the shots that they animate and create in the show. Anyways, I'm rambling. So
the song is about Dexter's Lab.
The song is about Dexter's Laboratory. Nothing to do with Samurai Jack. It's an homage to the show by the rapper G-Eazy. It's called I Be in the Lab, and let's listen to a little clip of it.
I be cooking up slap up in my laboratory and trying to hear you other rapper stories because they're boring.
Very clear homage back to the show.
For sure.
Did you know that, because you had mentioned Powerpuff Girls before, did you know that they brought it back last year?
I remember hearing something about it, but I remember a lot of people kind of being like up in arms about it, like, why would you bring that show back? It was perfect the way it was. So I didn't really bother watching it. So I don't know. It could be good, but I haven't experienced the new version of it, no.
I never watched it either. I know that they changed the style of it a bit, and obviously voice actors were different, but I forgot or didn't hear enough that it was amazing to bother checking
exactly it out. Exactly. I remember some people were upset because they changed the art style. People were upset that they were bringing it back at all. So I didn't really bother with it too much, but hey, if it's doing well, if it's still on, then kudos to them, I guess.
So we have one more song.
Yay, we're almost done. So the last song in our little 90s nostalgia show here is the song Rip Your Heart Out by Hobson.
Sounds nice.
I know, right? It's a lovely, nice little ballad. So this song references both Pokemon and the show Pinky and the Brain. Pinky and the Brain, that was one of those like Acme shows that kind of played alongside Animaniacs. I think that was on like WB or something, right?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Animaniacs was a really good show too, by the way.
Wasn't that another one that had a lot of innuendos?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it did. I can't remember any offhand, but I remember, you know, you're on the internet, you see memes and shit, and people referencing, like, hey, this show had a really heavy-handed innuendo that kids didn't get, but was really damn dirty. So Rip Your Heart Out by Hobson. For those of you that don't know, Hobson, he's an American rapper based out of L.A. He's fairly famous. Like, I've heard of a handful of his songs, but I don't think he's, like, top tier. Like Kanye or anything, but he has a really interesting sort of fast-paced rapping style, and I would argue he's a really skilled rapper, but he's one of those really fast-paced kind of blast words that you kind of rappers. But he's got two different lines in this track, so we'll play them each separately.
Okay.
The first one, which references the show Pokemon, is the line, "Motherfucker, I got balls like I'm Ash Ketchum. I really can't imagine not spazzing on a track this savage." So, he's got balls, and they're supposed to be like Pokeballs in the show Pokemon.
Just a sperm cell that climbed the body of your dad's rectum. Yeah. Motherfucker, I got balls like I'm Ash Ketchum. I really can't imagine not spazzing on a track this savage. I snapped in, I'm a little fanatic.
That was the line from Rip Your Heart Out.
I like your second bullet point here under the... I'm just going to tell you listeners what Kyle wrote down here. He says, if y'all don't know what Pokemon is, y'all fucking stupid.
It's
well, there you have it.
It's one of those cultural touchstones that I'm like, if you haven't at least heard what Pokemon is and are familiar with the concept, then either you were born after the 90s, in which case, get out of my face, or you were born in like the 50s and you're dead now. Because everyone born in the 50s is dead, apparently.
Oh, Kyle. So yeah. You said there was another thing in this song?
Yeah. There's another reference to a little bit lesser known show, Pinky and the Brain, which was about two talking mice. One was very smart, the brain, and one was dumb, Pinky. It was basically it's that tried and true cartoon adage, you know, kind of Abbott and Costello, kind of, you know, George and Lenny from Mice and Men, you know, the smart short guy and the dumb tall guy, you know, that kind of dynamic. Yeah. And they were like lab rats, and the evil brain was like this evil genius who wanted to take over the world, but Pinky was always stupid and inadvertently tripping him up, and hilarity ensued. So this line from this song, this Hobson song, Rip Your Heart Out, this other line goes, "They be calling me Bane like Saddam Hussein. Well, ain't that a bitch? Cause me and Hops, the only thing is taking the world like Pinky and the Brain.
Nigga, they calling me Bane like Saddam Hussein. Ain't that a bitch? Cause me and Hop, only thing is taking over like Pinky and the Brain. I'ma give you the gun again, never living when the trigger is summoned. I see you suckers shaking shit with
your mouth." So, that was a very good list, and I think at the beginning you even said that there's probably more out there that reference other shows.
I'm sure there's absolutely more. These are just a handful that I picked that I figured were fairly innocuous and shows from the 90s that most 90s kids at least have heard of. It's interesting. I think because a lot of these rappers that are coming up now, again, are, you know, our age roughly, they grew up with the shows in the 90s, they grew up with the rap in the 90s, so those were really influential to them, and because of it they come out in their lyrics, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Rap, more so than a lot of music genres, is very referential too, so it lends itself
very culture conscious.
Yes, thank you. Perfect. It's culture conscious, so it lends itself well to the artists kind of talking about things that influence them, referencing things that are important to them.
Yeah.
Whereas other genres like rock or R&B aren't as likely to reference these cultural touchstones because they don't fit within the narrative of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to have an R&B song that you play, you know, while you're getting it on that references, you know, I don't know, H.R. Puff and stuff or something.
That would be really creepy.
Right? Exactly. So I think rap more so lends itself well to these cultural references. And, you know, these rappers are ultimately rapping, or their target audience is usually people their age. So, you know, when people listen to them, you know, they're like, oh shit, that was a dope reference. You know, I remember that, or I get that, or I connect with them because of that. So it's a genre that lends itself well to sort of shared cultural experiences.
Well said.
Thank you.
And if you listeners at any point during this episode said, oh shit, that was a dope reference, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. Or if you don't give a shit, go to getyourfunk.com and listen to more episodes there.
This has been your host, Kyle.
And this has been your host, Peter.
Join us next time for another exciting episode of Little Orphan Annie.